It's one of our the kids' favorite songs down at Westport Camp. I guess we sing that for every year we go to camp. I've been going for, well, we'll be 28 years this year, so we've sung that every year, haven't we, Crystal? Huh? Oh, you learned it from Chelsea, yeah. Yeah, I learned it from the kids. First time I went, so. Well, it's interesting that I'm preaching about the betrayer, who is Judas. And we could also preach a sermon on Pharaoh, couldn't we? It's his shenanigans and so forth that he tried with God and didn't work. So take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 6, beginning with verse 60. preaching a series of messages leading up to Easter, April 1st. And including all of these, sometimes we hear about Jesus, but we don't always know his attention, his intention of what he did, other than Satan had entered his life, deceived him so much like he does today in our society. Satan has a way to work through and in people to get them to do what he wants them to do rather than trusting God. So hopefully in this message I can see that, help us to see that there's an encouragement to people, to Christians, to people who haven't received Christ, that there is a choice that we make in life, and if we choose God's way, we're safe and secure in him. If not, then we seal our own destruction in life. And so many have taken that path. And there's ways to revert that and turn to Jesus. So hopefully today we'll see that. And these words here that are being spoken are to the disciples. They're to us. They're to all of us to make sure that we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ as our Savior. So beginning with verse 60, follow along with me. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, heard what Jesus was saying and how he rebuked some of them and said what you must do to be faithful, follow him. This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." And he was talking about some of his followers. To Jesus was talking about. "For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him." Foreknowledge. Of course, we know Jesus, God, knows everything. He knows everything about us. So he knows beforehand. If we're going to accept him, believe in him, it all has to do with the heart. In verse 65, "And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father." Those are profound words too, aren't they? Now, here's Peter's confession of faith. Verse 66. "As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore." Now, he's not talking about his regular disciples, the 12 or the 11. He's talking about other followers, disciples that turned away, withdrew from that because of the tough sayings Jesus was making. In verse 67, "So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, Do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Good answer. You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to you that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them, Did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? Harsh words. Now, it meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray Jesus. To me, and I'm sure to you as well, it's hard for someone to name after a disciple like Andrew, Peter, Philip, John and James, or Judas. No, not Judas. That name concurs a negative image of our minds when we hear the word Judas. Because according to the Bible, he was a betrayer, traitor, evil, because Jesus called him devil, a liar. If you were here last Sunday night, Sunday evening, Mitch Harrell was talking about judgment versus mercy. And one of the first words he used was what? You remember? Hypocrite. Hypocrite. Yeah, you remembered. It just takes a little initiative reminder there. But yeah, hypocrite. He was greedy, and Jesus said, even the devil. And what does Judas's name mean? Filled of blood. Filled of blood. So, it was about 2,000 years ago, a mother held an infant in her arms and named him Judas, a common name in those days. That was a common name. Now, why did Jesus choose Judas to be one of his disciples? You ever thought about that? And I have been asked that question. Was he such a bad judge of character? Was Jesus a bad judge of character, do you think? Nope. No, not at all. Not at all. Of course, Jesus knew from the very beginning what would happen. Foresight, all-knowing, all-powerful. And in verse 64, we think, why did Jesus, with his eyes wide open, why did he choose Judas? Well, hopefully we can answer some of those things here. As I said, he's a betrayer, he's a traitor, he's evil, he's a liar, he's a hypocrite, greedy, and evil. Now, he is called the field of blood as well. I mentioned that a while ago. So why did Jesus, with his eyes, why did he choose Judas? Well, there's a right association. See, the lesson of hypocrisy, and that was something that Mitch talked about, judgment versus mercy, hypocrisy, that was one of the things, hypocrite and so forth. And Judas is our model of a righteous hypocrite. He's the model for that. And don't think of him as a backslider or someone who was saved and then got lost. He was never saved from the very beginning. Now, let's look at verse 64. It's where the scripture says, Jesus said, some of you who do not believe. So that's a right association. Let's look at that. Now, as one of the 12, he was in a privileged position, or anyone that would serve with Jesus as a disciple. was in a privileged position. You think anyone that is called by God to serve in a privileged position, what an honor that is. As I stand before you today as your pastor, it's an honored position that God has placed any pastor or teacher or anyone, any minister who stands and proclaims the name of Jesus are called as a follower. What a privileged position to be in. Best boss in the world, right? Best boss in the world. Yes. And for over 3 years, he attended the world's greatest seminary. And who was the professor? Who was the teacher? It was Jesus. Imagine sitting under his teachings, his messages, his sermons, and so forth, to be able to soak it in and believe and then apply it to your lives. Oh, that would have been awesome. See, he was taught, he was mentored, and discipled by the best, Jesus Christ. He observed the first hand of miracles of Christ, like walking on the water. He was there for that, the 12 were. Raising Lazarus from the dead, and even the feeding of the 5,000. Judas was there. He saw all of that. Why did he not believe? Why did he not believe? And the scripture said a while ago, many turned away, withdrew, because they couldn't take what Jesus was teaching. They couldn't comprehend it. It's because they didn't take it in through their mind and process it and digest it in their heart as believing that Jesus was the Son of God. And that was part of Judas's problem. Then we see the right reputation. At the Last Supper, Jesus said, "One of you will betray me." And they all grasped and asked, "Is it I? Is it I?" And nobody suspected Judas. I mean, he was probably sitting there with a grin or smile on his face, just calm and collective. And no one expected that. Outward appearance was deceiving, but what was in the heart wasn't of God. He fit right in. He wasn't shady character with shifty eyes. He was good at what he did. He was a hypocrite, meaning he looked and talked just like he should, like any true believer. That's what Judas did. He was a successful pretender, and that's what he was, and so trusted that he was elected treasurer and carried the money for the whole group. That was him. And then he was a right participation. He participated in whatever Jesus asked them to do. When Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, he told them to preach. He told them to heal the sick and cast out demons. They all went out in the even number, and no doubt Judas, he participated in the preaching and the ministry. Because all of them were called. Jesus said, you didn't call me, I called you. I selected you to be my followers, my disciples. And if you can do these things, surely you are saved, right? Not necessarily. In Matthew chapter 7, which is part of the Beatitudes, Jesus spoke one of the most powerful. Well, it is the most powerful message that Jesus spoke to all the people and the disciples and the multitude of people that were there. And when Jesus went, sent them out two by two, he sent all of them out to proclaim the name of Jesus. And then here in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is specific that some will preach and cast out devils and will be cast into outer darkness, which is hell, because he says here in Matthew chapter 7, "I never knew you." Billy Graham passed away, you know, this past week, 99 years old. My. He was blessed with a long life, able to proclaim to millions and millions of people. And sure, I know he's been in many churches, many crusades. As a matter of fact, in 1986, when I was at Florida Baptist Theological College, I was taking an evangelism course. And the professor said, anybody wants to go to Tallahassee for a week and listen to Billy Graham and sit in on his evangelism school for a week, see me after class. I was the first one up there. I want to go. And they gave us credit for going, and we got a certificate for attending the classes and all of that. What a great week that was. Got to attend the meetings that evening, each evening for 7 days. Got to sit under and listen to Dr. Graham and George Beverly Shea get to sing for a whole week. Oh, it was marvelous. It was wonderful. But what he says here is just incomprehensible. He said that perhaps half or more of churchgoers in America have never truly been born again. And what a sad possibility that is. And many church members today have the right reputation. And they participate. They are respected of their service, are faithful in attendance. Maybe they work in a ministry, sing in a choir, or sometimes they are a leader, a deacon, a teacher, or even a preacher. And going back to Matthew chapter 7, if we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus is going to say one of these days, I never knew you. I never knew you. They have the right reputation as far as others think them, but the real question is, what does God say? What does he know about you? What does he know about me? Well, he knows it all, doesn't he? He knows it all. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. And even Paul says that in the books of Timothy, the pastoral epistles, that we are to examine ourselves. We need to guard our testimony, our witness, that we be proven before God that we are a true servant of God. So this text is a word of encouragement. You know, we might look at it in negative as far as the character, the status of Judas himself. But I see this text as an encouragement to anyone who will believe, because we do have that choice in this life. And how can Judas' betrayer be encouraging? Because the other 11 didn't betray. When we look at Peter, you know, he denied Jesus 3 times and the rooster crowed. But he had a different heart. He had a different mindset. He believed. He had faith in Jesus Christ. See, the others would all end up laying down their lives for Jesus. See, ever been outside and see a shooting star? I've seen many in my lifetime. And it's a beautiful thing to see. Well, we're called meteorites, right? They're not actually stars, but meteorites. And we call them shooting stars. Always have. And we say, look at that. And sometimes you're by yourself. You can't say that. But someone is with you. You say, look at that. I mean, so fast across the skies. I mean, you see it, and then it's gone. It is traveling that fast. Why do we call attention to it? Because stars do not normally fall. do they? They don't. They're fixed. They are fixed in the heavens. They're there. They don't move. They're like the sun. The sun is a star. It is fixed. It doesn't fall. And every falling star you see, there's a billion, trillion which do not fall. And most believers are as true as the stars of heaven. And we do the best by fixing our eyes upon Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. Now, let's go to the lesson of sovereignty. Well, first of all, I just talked about hypocrisy. Now let's look at sovereignty. In verse 64, Jesus said, from the very beginning, in John chapter 13, verse 18, I speak not of you all, but Jesus said, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eats bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And if you will go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Moses talked about that very thing where Jesus is going to be offered up as a sacrifice for the sin. So even in Genesis, atonement was being made then when Adam and Eve sinned against God. The heel man would be bruised. The head of Satan would be crushed. That's what Genesis 3:15 talks about. See, this is about Judas, who dipped bread in the gravy with Jesus at the Last Supper, the sign Jesus said that he is the betrayer. Jesus said, I chose Judas to betray me, so scriptures will be fulfilled. That's what the scripture is saying there. And see, there's Old Testament prophecy from the hundreds of years before when Judas was born that this was going to be fulfilled. And then we see in Psalms 41:9, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, had lifted up his heel against me, referring to Judas, all the way back into the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. Then Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12. He also says, which is a prophet, foretold what was to come in the new church age. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price. What does he talk about? The 30 pieces of silver. And if not, forbear. So they waited for my price, 30 pieces of silver. Jesus said that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, big question here. God is sovereign. But the big question comes up now. Did Judas have a choice in this matter, being chosen to be a betrayer? Yeah, he had a choice. He didn't have to, but he did. He had that choice. But God had foreknowledge of what Judas would do with his free will. See, God has given us, every one of us, a free will to choose, to make good choices. He doesn't want us to make bad choices. It all comes down to what's in our heart. That's where it all begins. Now, God is sovereign, guiding all the affairs of men, and yet man has a free will, and that's hard to reconcile in an infinite mind. How can that be? How can that be in our minds? But we really don't have to. We just need to accept that God is not finite. He is infinite. One of the reasons why we worship him. because he deserves our glory. See, Judas was loved. He could have been forgiven and saved even after he betrayed Jesus. See, we see time in the past. We see time in the present and future. But see, our God, he is timeless. He's the great I am. He sees everything in the now. He knows everything. That's so amazing. In Ephesians, says that he sees us as seated in the heavenly places already. See, if your name is written down in the book of life, you don't want it etched out, you don't want it blotted out. That's the Old Testament Hebrew word, blotted. But you don't want it etched out or taken away, because we've been saved in the mind of God. We're already at home with him. We're already at home, even though we're here on this earth serving him, worshiping him. It's if we're already home with him, because our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, there's a little boy, he's trying to watch a parade through a little keyhole in a fence, and he could only see just a small part of the parade because he had to tiptoe and see through a little keyhole. And a man comes by and asks him if he wants to see the parade, if he wants to see the whole parade. He picks him up, takes him up to the top of the building from where he could see the very beginning, the middle, and the end of the parade. See, we look at time through a little keyhole. See, our minds are so finite. We can only see parts through keyholes in this life. But Jesus sees the whole picture, the whole scope. He wants us to see that as well. But we serve an eternal and timeless, infinite God who sees all it all and has foreknowledge of how we will see and how we have the free will to make right choices. He sees that. We just got to acknowledge that ourselves and be willing and wanting to please God and be obedient to him. So, and if by chance people try to trick him or double back on their decision where they're going to make, well, he knew that you'd do that too. Judas made his own choice. Okay. Lesson in tragedy, where we see in verses 70 through 71. First of all, his sin deceived him. His sin deceived him. See, he couldn't wait to get the money. He believed it would bring him happiness, but he was deceived. R.G. Lee once said, "Eat the devil's corn, and he chokes you with the stalk." He chokes you with the cob too, you know, if you eat his corn. See, Judas found out the hard way the devil only pays in counterfeit money. He does. And by the way, Judas' sin was not the betrayer, but through unbelief as well. Also, his sin destroyed him. In Matthew 27:5, "And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 18, "Now this man purchased a field," and that's why it's called the field of blood. "He purchased the field with a reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out." Now, it's told in a different way through the four Gospels. Four Gospels, synoptic means seeing together. They all told it in a different way. Here we see in Acts the writer explaining exactly what took place. "And all the awful consequences of sin, the high price for low living." And that's what Judas chose. And then we see the his own sin condemned him. Because we see in Acts 1:25 that he may take part of this ministry in apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, and that he might go to his own place. See, his own place is destruction. The Bible calls Hades, Silo, hell. And it's still there today. Still there today. And now, also, we see a lesson in security. See, he didn't lose salvation, as I stated a few minutes ago. He never had it. What a shame. What a tragedy. See, Peter denied Jesus Christ, yet he was saved earlier. In verse 64, Judas didn't believe and was called the devil from the very beginning. And even after the betrayal, when Judas died, he had guilt, but he didn't have repentance. That's the difference. See, guilt and repentance are not all the same thing. See, you can feel guilty, but not repent. Many do that today. See, they sin and feel guilty, but aren't willing to give it up. What a tragedy. See, Peter, sorrow unto repentance, he went out and he wept bitterly and sought forgiveness. And that's what Peter did, and he was forgiven. When Peter sinned, his faith was weakened, but Judas's had no faith to weaken in the first place. Now, our intent is not to cause any believer to doubt, but God to convict those who need genuine salvation or to be saved. See, that's God's plan for each and every one of us. See, Judas had a choice, and he was in God's plan the whole time. He had a choice. He could have repented. Sure, I mean, there's guilt sometimes in everybody's life, but if it's not followed up, repentance, confession, repentance, then there's no forgiveness. And Judas, I do believe my heart, could have been forgiven, just like anyone, because John 3:16 says it all, that God came into this world, he's the only begotten Son, to offer salvation, eternal life to everyone. And it is our responsibility as Christians today is to alert or warn people of this as we go about ministering and sharing the birth of Jesus Christ, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, that's why Jesus called these 12 to be his ministers, to be his ambassadors, to help people understand, you know, confess your sin, you have eternal life. If you do not, then you condemn your own self by your choice that we make. That's an encouraging word. This scripture is very encouraging because, you know, Jesus, he writes it out very plain. Whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, because I am the life, the truth, and the way. No one comes to the Father but through me. Very simple. Very simple. That's the message that we all are to proclaim. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you offer each one of us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are our loving God. You're a gracious God. Even though there are judgment, there's the mercy seat. We get something we don't deserve, and we don't deserve salvation, but because of Jesus Christ, you offer it to every one of us. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know you personally, Lord, I just pray from the depths of their hearts, they open up and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be your child. Experience your salvation, the atonement for eternal life. there's many decisions that each one of us needs to make. And Lord, your Holy Spirit is here this morning to reveal that to us in our heart. What changes we need to make, what revisions needs to be altered in our life. And when we stand before you, Lord, we know we have to agree with you because you're always right. You know us inside and out, just like you did Judas. You knew his heart. You knew he wasn't with you, but he was against you. Lord, I thank you this morning that you have allowed us to be here this morning to hear your word, to read your word, to pray to you, to be encouraged by one another, but to be lifted up in Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the experience that you give us each day to worship, to serve you. Today that we depart from this world, Lord, may we be found faithful. It's in precious name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is 428. Have you any room for Jesus? Good question, right?
Oh, is that wrong? Bulletin wrong?
I'm sorry, wrong one.
428, is that right?
Okay.
Oh, okay. Let's stand and we'll sing our hymn of invitation. It's on the screen, so we'll sing that. Good words this morning. Have you any room for Jesus? Huh? That's not it?
I think it's 328. In the bulletin, does it say 328?
No, it says
428. Yes, it says
428. I think that was last week's. Let's do this with
328.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
I was just going by the bulletin. We'll go by the screen if you're there. Okay.
Wrong number, right?
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'll see. It's on the back.
Sorry.
Thank you for being here today, and don't forget about this evening at 6 o'clock. We'll be meeting here back at our church tonight at 6 o'clock for together for resurrection service. Bill Seacrest from Aurora Baptist Church will be bringing the message. Our